Again, this is my first time trying to use Zoom. We had a Rebbe meeting on it earlier today, which was a lot of fun. I can share
I can see
some.
the screen.
You can see the screen. Okay, thank you, Rabbi Rafael Zev. Okay, so I want to learn two pieces of Torah together, which I think in some way express the feelings that I have and probably many of us have in trying to make sense of why we're gathered here on Zoom tonight and not learning Torah together, and why in some communities some of our shuls are closed and restaurants are closed and schools are closed, and a lot of very unusual things are going on in the world right now, and we're all trying to make some sense of it. So two pieces of Torah came to mind, which I want to learn together for about a half hour. One is a Sichas Musar from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and it's on Parshas Tazria Metzora. I hope again you could see it on the screen in front of you. It's a piece called Badad Yeshev, which means to sit alone. And of course, that's sort of what we're going through right now, although we're connecting in this new format, which is really exciting and interesting. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz describes and he explains, I'm going to read inside, a Gemara in Maseches Nedarim. It's in other places as well. But the Gemara says, Arba Chashuvim Kames. Tanya Arba Chashuvim Kames. Right over here. Tanya Arba Chashuvim Kames. There are four who are considered as if they are no longer alive. A very scary sounding Gemara. We have an Ani, we have a Metzora, we have a Suma, Umisha Ein Lo Banim. Four people are considered on a certain level as if their life is not really a life. A person who is impoverished, a person who is a Metzora, that's the context of this mimer. A Suma, a person who doesn't have vision, who's lost their physical ability to see. Umisha Ein Lo Banim, and a person who is not, unfortunately, blessed with children. And the Gemara brings Pesukim to prove each one. And the Gemara says, Mitzora dichsiv alna tihi kames. The source for Mitzora is the fact that the Pasuk says that Aaron says to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he and Miriam contract tzaras, alna tihi kames, let us not be like those who are dead. And Moshe then goes to daven for Aaron and Miriam. The question is, what is the common denominator between these four individuals? The Ani, the Mitzora, the Suma, the person who is blind, and the person who is not blessed with children. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, in an essay from 1972, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz passed away in 1979, he says, "V'nira she'atam l'kach sh'ha'metzora chashuv k'meis." Why is it that a metzora is considered like one who is no longer alive? Eino b'glal yisurov hakashim v'koved. You would think that maybe he's chashuv k'meis because he's suffering so much. You would think that the metzora is going through such difficult physical pain that his suffering, his physical suffering, makes it as if his life is not a life. But says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that's not the reason. It can't be. Afilu kol ha'yesurim einam kamisa. Because even if a person is suffering the worst suffering in the world, it's not as bad as being dead. Yasur, like we say in And Hallel, Yasur Yisrani Ka, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflict me, v'lamavis lo nesanani, and not hand me over to death. In other words, being alive is always going to be better than being dead. No matter how much a person is suffering, no matter how difficult one's life is, when a person's life is challenged in that way, that just the very schus of being alive is more valuable than anything in the world. V'nemar, and furthermore, we have a pasuk in Eicha, Ma yis'onein adam chai. What right does a person who's alive have really to complain? Because thank God you're alive. Pirshu Chazal, the Gemara explains in Kiddushin, Dayoshu chai. Thankfully the person is alive. And Rashi explains, it's enough to be alive. Rashi explains, Lama yisraim adam ala koros habos ilav. Why would a person complain about things that are happening to him? Achar kol ha-chesed shani osi imo. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to a person, you're alive. Realize that there are people who unfortunately are not alive. So it's the greatest chesed in the world. So your life is difficult, and you're suffering, and it's hard. It's all true. And we learned earlier today, some of us, that Hashem suffers with us. But at least you're alive. Shenasati lo chayim v'lo havesi lav misa. That I've kept you alive, and I haven't allowed you to succumb to death. So it must be that when we say that the life of Metzora is chashuv k'meis, it must be that it's something more than just the fact that he's physically suffering. Because physically suffering and not being dead is a big bracha. It says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz that a person, even if he's suffering as much as Iov, who physically and spiritually suffered terribly, Right? Even a person who's suffering that much doesn't really have a right to complain. Ki kol atzaros vayisurim heim ka'ayin l'umas ha'chesed ha'gadol she'asim ha'kadosh baruch hu she'nasan lo asachayim. Because no matter how much a person suffers, again, we've been given the greatest gift in the world. It's so unbelievable. You think about what's happening in the world now, and you think about just everything shutting down, whether it's financial markets collapsing, or whether it's those who are interested in sports, basically all of professional sports and college sports shutting down, schools shutting down, obviously much more significant, yeshivas, batei midrashim, shuls. It's pretty crazy stuff. But it's a reminder, more than anything, that everything has to get pushed aside for life itself. And to maintain life, to allow people to be safe, to live, is the most important thing of all. So therefore, even a person who's suffering, and even a person who's figuring out all sorts of difficulties, you're still alive, and that's what to be thankful for. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, we need to understand, so what is it about the Mitzora and the Suma, and the person without children and the Ani, so what aspect of their experience is like death? He brings another proof to this idea. The Gemara says that when the wicked Paro wanted to enslave Klal Yisrael, so he asked three people for advice. Gimel hayu bitza. What should I do with the Jews? Iov, what should I do with the Jews? Bilam, what should I do with the Jews? And Bilam gave the advice. Bilam shiyat. Bilam, who said, you know, enslave the Jews, make them suffer. Nerag b'charev. He was killed by the sword. Because Bilam said the worst thing. He spoke out against Klal Yisrael. Iov, who remained neutral, sheshasak nidon biyisurim. And Iov, who remained quiet, was punished with afflictions. So who did a worse thing? Who was worse? Bilam was worse. Right? Bilam turned Klal Yisrael over to Paro. He said, Paro, do what you want with them. Iov says, I'm you know, staying neutral. Yisrael ran away from Paro not to be a part of that discussion. So obviously, if Bilam gave the worst advice, then Iov, and Iov suffers terrible, his whole life is suffering, and Bilam gets killed, obviously Bilam's punishment has to be worse than Iov's. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, it's exactly. Pshita she'oncho shel Bilam tzarach lios chamor elef mona me'oncho shel Iov. Bilam, whose advice was to make Klal Yisrael slaves to Paro, is much worse than Iov. And therefore, Bilam's penalty of being killed is worse than all the suffering of Iov. So again, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, imkein muchach mizeh shekol yisurei Iov heim onesh kal min amisa. So obviously, suffering as much as Iov suffered is less significant than dying the death of Bilam. So being alive is obviously the most important thing of all. So therefore, again, we need to understand. So then, what is the death that's associated with a Mitzora? What is the death that's associated with an Ani? What is the death that's associated with a person who doesn't have children? What is the death that's associated with a person who's blind? And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz develops the following yisod. Lechein, he writes at the top of the next page, Ein lomar klal shamitzora chashiv kameis beglal yisur vakashim. A Mitzora, a person who's afflicted with saras, it's not leprosy, but it's much worse. A person who has saras, It's much worse than Yisurim Shabo. It's much worse than the fact that he's physically afflicted. Now we get the answer. What is it about him being a Mitzora that is equated with death itself? This is the title of our piece. It's the fact that a person who has Saras is quarantined, is forced into isolation. As we will now try to explain. The pain of tzaras, again, is not the fact that your body hurts. The pain of tzaras is the loneliness that comes with being a Mitzora. I'm skipping ahead a little bit because he has a little bit of a halachic discussion there based on a Gemara, but I'm going to jump ahead now, and he's going to explain to us that the common denominator between all four, again, on our list, the Ani, the Mitzora, the Suma, and the person who doesn't have children, the common denominator between all of them is the sense of isolation. It's not just four random individuals who happen to have difficult lives that the Gemara lumped together. These are four people who are suffering a very specific type of suffering, and it's the suffering of loneliness. And let's go through them one by one. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Echad min ha'arba, I hope you can see the arrow where I'm pointing, Echad min ha'arba hu suma, umakshin ha'ola mimasha amra bavakama. So one of the four on our list, we said, is a person who is blind. So people ask from the Gemara in Bava Kama, Chersho no sin lo dmei kulo. The Gemara Bava Kama says that if you make someone deaf, if God forbid you injure someone in such a way that they lose their hearing, so you pay for their entire life. You pay the value of their life. How we evaluate a person's life in Beis Din is a good question, but it's as if you've destroyed them completely. And yet we don't say about a deaf person that they're considered as dead. What happens if you blind someone? How much do you have to pay for blinding someone? Sima es eino, no sin lo deme eino. If you blind someone, you pay the value of their eye, ayin tachas ayin. Velo deme kula, you don't pay their entire value. So what is it about a blind person? Again, if on a certain level, Chazal are revealing to us that making someone deaf is a greater damage than blinding someone. So why do Chazal say that a blind person is like a dead person? Why don't they say that a deaf person, Rahman al-Itzlan, is like a dead person? And he explains as follows. He says, "V'nira levar didin mazik kosher befseido shel anizak." We have to really understand what is it that the person has lost through the damage that has taken place. V'ikr ha-chashivos eitzel la'adam hi-ha-ozen. If I were to ask you which is more valuable, your eyes or your ears? So I imagine many of us would say our eyes. But on a certain level, the answer is our ears. And he explains based on a piece in Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah. Ha'ayin Aver Nichba. The ayin, of course, is very, very precious. It's a priceless thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. V'nichbad mimenu ha'ozen. But even greater than that is the ear. Why? Ki yishma bo shmua tova hamidashenes as etzem she'ein bo hargasha. Because when someone says something to you, sometimes a person could say something to you which mamish gives you chiyus, gives you a certain energy, which you can feel even on the part of the body that doesn't have the ability to feel. V'lo yidushan b'riya seinayim. Sometimes a word, something that you hear, can move a person differently than something that you see. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva. V'kevan sha'ashpa sa'ozen hi al kol gufo shel adam. So since the ability to receive through the ear is in fact able to impact the entire person. So therefore, if you make someone deaf, God forbid, you have to pay for their entire being. So what is it about seeing then that an ani, that a suma, that a blind person is chashuv kames? What is it about the ability to see? Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Achein ha-re'iya, afal pi she'ina chashuva la'adam kishmiya. Yes, seeing on a certain level is not as valuable as hearing. But mikol makom, you know why seeing, or the loss of seeing, loss of vision, makes a person like a mace. Mikol makom hi hagoremis la'adam lahargish asazulas. It's seeing that allows me to really, really connect to others in a deep way. It's true, I can hear someone's voice, and that's very powerful. But to be able to see another human being, to be able to look at another human being, on a certain level, that's the greatest type of human connection that a person can have. Ukamosha matzinu b'moshe shekasuv. Like it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yigdal Moshe v'yitzei lechav. Moshe got a bit older and he went out to his brothers, v'yar b'siv lo sam, and he sees their pain. And this, by the way, is so true. If you hear about someone who's going through a difficult time, let's say you hear someone's in the hospital and you know that they're suffering terribly. So you could be moved on a certain level. But I promise you, if you walk into that hospital room and you see the person in the hospital bed and you see with your physical eyes what they're going through, it's a different thing. You daven in a different way. That's part of what Bikur Cholim is about, that when you go to perform Bikur Cholim, you go and you visit a person, the Rishonim say, one of the really three goals of Bikur Cholim is to be able to see them and to be able to daven for them, to understand what they're going through. And that's what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to his brothers, Vayar v'libo lios meitzer aleihem. Then he can feel their pain. So in other words, when a person can't see, and this again is our Yesod, when a person can't see, there's a loneliness that a person feels, that he feels so disconnected from someone else, that it could be as if their life is not a life. And that's why a suma, a person who's blind, is chashiv kames. How do I get to the next page here? Hang tight, friends. So when Moshe Rabbeinu is able to see Klal Yisrael suffering, again, now he's able to understand their pain and to be able to feel their pain. He quotes at the top of the next page, he quotes from the Svarno. The Svarno says that when Yaakov Avinu was old, and Yaakov Avinu wants to give a bracha to Yosef's children, so he calls them close, and we know about Yaakov at that point, Ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mizoiken, the eyes of Yaakov were heavy from age. He wasn't able to see. Lo yuchal liros. Ve'yageisho samei lo, ve'yishak lehem, ve'yichabek lehem. So what does Yaakov do? He calls over Yosef's children, and he hugs them, and he kisses them. He kisses them, and he hugs them. So the Svarno explains, shehutzrach lechavkum ulenashkam. Why is it that Yaakov has to hug them and to kiss them at that time? Because he wants to give them a bracha, and he's not able to see. And if you can't see, it's very difficult to connect to another person. So Yaakov has to pull close the children of Yosef to be able to forge some type of human connection with them. But again, the yesod is that a person who's not able to see, that is on a certain level the greatest loss of connectivity. And in that sense, a person is chashav kames. A person feels that their life is not a life when they're not able to see others. The second example of the Gemara, jumping ahead, he says, the second example of the Gemara is a person who doesn't have children, who's not blessed with children. Lo aleinu, we should daven for people who don't yet have children. Umitam ze choshev kameis ga misha ein lo banim. Af she lechora ma shechos ma chaser lo. You could say about such a person, what are they lacking? They don't have kids, okay? So they have less bills to pay. Varei kol tanugos ha'olam omdim l'reshuso. They still have the ability to enjoy everything of this world. But a person so badly wants to be able to give to other people, to interact with other people, to be able to give to someone else. Because there's no one in the world who's able to receive goodness as much as a parent is able to give to a child. And therefore, a person who doesn't have that ability to give to someone else, they feel like their life is totally lacking. A person who can't give to someone else is considered like someone who's not alive. He goes on, he tells the story of the two women who were fighting over one child and came before Shlomo HaMelech. And they said before Shlomo HaMelech, each one was fighting and claiming, you know, I'm the true mother. Of course, the story was that one of the women had lost her child and taken this other child, claiming it as her own. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I don't understand. So she steals someone else's baby and pretends that it's her own child, and that's going to what? That's going to satisfy her craving to be a mother? And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, as radical as that sounds, the answer is yes. Because so badly does a person want to be able to interact with someone else, to be able to give to someone else, that not having a child of her own, she could convince herself that taking someone else's child is worth it, as a way of satisfying that need of the soul, again, to be able to interact with others. So again, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the common denominator between the blind person and the one without children, again, is that lack of human connection. The third example is the ani. V'chein ha'ani she'choshev kameis. Why is a person who's a poor person choshev kameis? So you'll say, well, maybe they feel dead because they're lacking, they don't have their financial means. Ein zeh mishum she'choser lo atzmo. It's not because they don't have for themselves. Is their inability to give to someone else that's so painful for them? The fact that they're lacking something of their own is minuscule compared to what? Compared to their inability to give to others, to be able to be mashpia to others. So again, we have a suma, we have a person without children, we have a poor person, all lack this ability to connect to others, and that, on a certain level, Chazal are revealing to us, makes their life not a life at all. And who is our fourth category? Again, the one who this whole essay is really based upon? It's the Metzora. It's the Metzora, and the fact that the Metzora is quarantined. Badad yeshev michutz l'machana moshavo. And the reason that the Metzora is sent into quarantine, concludes Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the piece, at least for now, he concludes by saying in the bottom paragraph, "Ve'aonesh hachamor hazeh shel tzaras shehu kamisa." When a person has tzaras, and now he's all alone, and he's thinking about, you know, he's thinking about how did I get tzaras? Well, how did he get tzaras? Al avon lashon hara huba. The tzaras came about because he spoke lashon hara, and Chazal say that al avon lashon hara nega'im ba'im. V'chein matzinu b'miriam shedibra b'moshe. Miriam spoke against Moshe. V'loktza b'tzaras. V'hi mida k'neged mida. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, this itself is mida k'neged mida. Because when a person speaks Lashon Hara, what are you doing? You're causing people to grow apart. You're causing a pirud between individuals. And because of that disconnect that you create between people, so the punishment is that you're forced to isolate yourself from others as well. So again, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the common denominator of these four individuals is that each one is isolated, each one is placed into solitary confinement on a certain level. A blind person, again, is isolated from his ability to interact with others, to connect with others through his vision. A person who doesn't have children doesn't have the ability to give to others, and that's a very painful experience for that individual. An ani also, it's not that he doesn't have his own means, it's that he doesn't have the ability to give to others, and that's also very painful. And the Mitzora, who spoke Lashon Hara and caused people to grow apart, the Mitzora is punished as well by being separated from others. Now, I want to learn a piece from the Shem Yishmuel, and I think we're having a little bit of a connection difficulty here, but I'm recording the audio, so we're going to keep going for now, and I hope we'll be able to get back on track. I hope we didn't lose everyone there. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but we're going to keep trying to push ahead. And okay, I hope you can hear me. Again, I'm sorry. Sorry for the difficulties.
Still muted, but green, it looks like the mute is on.
Still muted, you're right. Hi, I'm still muted. Okay, now I'm not muted. Thank you very much. Okay, listen, this is a learning experience. We're trying here. Okay, I want to learn one other piece. Again, so that was the Yesod of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Again, this idea that these four individuals are not just four people who are going through a hard time, but they're going through a specific type of hard time of loneliness. And again, it's something that we're all experiencing right now, even as we try to connect through this technology, which is mostly working. But that feeling, again, that feeling of isolation that a person of tzaras has, that feeling of disconnect from others, a person who's blind, the feeling of disconnect, not being able to give to one's children, which is the greatest type of giving that a person can do. And the ani who suffers, not only because he doesn't have for himself, but because he's unable to give to others. Okay, I want to learn one other piece, which again comes to mind in light of everything that's going on. And it's from the Shem Yishmuel in Parshas Lech Lecha. And to me, I think this is a big, you know, someone was saying to me earlier today, what is Hashem telling us? What are we supposed to make of all this? I have no idea. And I imagine no one has the confidence to say that they know for sure. However, part of what we can take from this opportunity to sit alone, Badad Yeshev, and to spend some time contemplating our loneliness, and again, we should make sure that we take care of each other, we look out for each other, we talk to each other, we stay connected, and get together and find ways to learn and just to smile at each other and crack some jokes. And Eitan Katz was playing music for Klal Yisrael before. It's Kavaldik what people are doing to try to stay connected. But I think part of what Hashem is maybe trying to teach us is that we often take our connections to each other for granted. And I want to learn a piece of the Shem Yishmuel from the year Tafresh Ayin Beis, where the Shem Yishmuel explains to us the tragedy of taking life for granted and not appreciating things, and sometimes they need to be taken away from us as a way of getting us to appreciate what we have. He's commenting on a Gemara in Sota. I hope you can see it on the screen in front of you. In the right-hand column, he's quoting from his father, the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer, the first Rebbe of Sakachov, passed away in 1910. And his son, the Shem Yishmuel, Rav Shmuel Bornstein, writes in his Shem Yishmuel, Parshas Lech Lecha, a very deep yesod from his father. He says, my father explained the Gemara in Maseches Sota and Daf Yud Aleph, which says, Vayashlicheyu me'emek Chevron, that he sent him from the valley of Chevron. Now, of course, Chevron's not actually a valley, so the Gemara is trying to figure out what does it mean when Yaakov sent Yosef to go check on his brothers, he sent him me'emek Chevron. So Chazal say, Be'etza amuka shal oso tzadik ha'kover b'chevron. He was sent in fulfillment of the deep advice of the tzadik who is buried in Chevron, which is a reference to Avram Avinu. The question is, what was the secret advice of Avram Avinu? Again, Yaakov sending Yosef to the brothers is the beginning of Galus Mitzrayim. It's many ways the beginning of the end for Klal Yisrael. So the question is, what exactly is the Eitza Amuka? What is the great advice? What was the secret that Avram Avinu held? And how does Yaakov sending Yosef to the brothers, which ends up sending Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim, how is this some type of deep secret of Avram Avinu? And he explains to us really an amazing idea. And it's a strong wake-up call for us, again, not to take the opportunities that we have in Ruchnias and in just daily life for granted at all. Because in a minute, they can all be taken away from us, Rachmana Litzlan. Haynu she'Avram Avinu alav ha'shalom. Let's think about Avram Avinu. What was Avram Avinu's life like? Avram Avinu shenolad v'nisgadlo b'beisa shel Terach, makom tinoifes avodah zara. Avram Avinu, who grew up in a home of idol worship. Kishehirgish davar mashal kedusha, nisgadla etzlo hatshuka b'yoser. When Avram Avinu, again, think about it, he was growing up in a home of spiritual darkness, and whenever Avram had the opportunity to, so to speak, step into the light, when Avram was able to grab onto a little bit of Kedusha, he was so excited about it. Ki yisron ha'or min ha'choshech, because the comparison of light to darkness is so profound, it's so obvious. V'chol davar sha Kedusha hayachadash etzlo v'chaviv alav ad l'maod. And therefore, anytime Avram had the opportunity to come into contact with Kedusha, he was so excited about it. But Avram Avinu understood that unlike Avram, who grew up in such a home, many of us would have the opportunity, Baruch Hashem, not all of us, but many of us have the opportunity to grow up in a religious community, in a religious home, and to have kosher food, and to have all sorts of things. Hi, sorry, Chevra, we keep losing the connection, I apologize. Avram Avinu was growing up in the home of Terach. Avram Avinu, who was growing up in the home of Terach, when he had the opportunity to come into contact with some Kedusha, it was overwhelmingly exciting for him because he had no shaychus to Kedusha. He had never seen Kedusha before. So when Avram discovers the Kodesh Baruch, he's so excited about it. But Avram recognized that with the passage of time, there was going to be a reality that we would grow up in religious environments, and we would have Torah, and we would have mitzvos, and we would have Shabbos, and we would start to take it all for granted. So Avram Avinu actually, in a very interesting way, in a very dirious way, Avram understood that there's something to be gained from the Gullus experience. There's something to be gained from having all of it taken away from you as a reminder of how lucky you are when you have it. Aval hayam misyare shezaro achra bos hayamim basher yoldu v'yigdulu al birkei ha-kedusha. Children, when the future generations would grow up in the lap of Kedusha, not in the home of Terach and the idol-worshipping world of Or Kostim, but rather would grow up in a world of Torah and mitzvos. Lo yeh hadavar chadash etzlam. I always refer to this as like, you know, the NTSY Shabbaton, Shem Yishmol. It's like that kid who goes on his first NTSY Shabbaton. It's his first time experiencing Shabbos, and he's mamish on fire. He's never seen anything like this before. And he says to his advisor, who's a firm young man or woman, and says, you know, you do this all the time? You have Shabbos all the time? Like, yeah, we do this every week. And you start to realize, wow, I totally take it for granted. This public school kid who's experiencing Shabbos for the first time is mamish tasting Shabbos, and I'm used to Shabbos. I don't think about it. I don't think twice. So Avram Avinu understood that with the passage of time, we take things for granted. That over time, the sweetness of Torah and mitzvot would be lost. When we're not fighting for it, we don't appreciate it. Ula'at la'at yiskar hadavar. And we would become cold. The way that Amalek tries to cool us off, we start to lose that passion, lose that fire, lose that appreciation for the gift of Torah mitzvos, ad asher chas v'shalom yavo lidei averos, to the point that we would get so bored of it that in order to, you know, to feel that geshmak, we would turn to things which are prohibited for us. Al kein haisa atzoso shiyashtavdu begolus l'man yischadish etzlam adavar v'tizgad l'atshuka. So Avram Avinu came up with an idea, and it was called Gullus. When you go into Gullus, or again, like Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis was teaching us, when Badad Yeshev, when you sit alone and you have the opportunity to contemplate how much I miss my friends and I miss my Rebbeim and I miss regular life, it's a wake-up call. And then when you come back to it, you come back to all the things that you appreciate, that you should appreciate. You come back to it with a much deeper appreciation and much greater passion. So that's from the Avni Nezer. He says, that's from my father. If I want to add to it, I want to add a little bit. So often the path that we are successful in our avodas Hashem, those who are associated with us, so they also have an appreciation for those things. If you're very into davening, hopefully, not always, but hopefully the people around you will be inspired to be good daveners. And if you're very into learning, so people will be into learning. And if you're very into chesed, so people around you will be into chesed. V'alkein Avram Avinu Olav Shalom Shetchilas Gidulo B'Beis Aviv V'Hayulo Minios V'Redivos Shonos. Avram, who grew up again in the home where everything was an opposition, everything was a fight, every bit of Kedusha was a struggle, uvasher lefi ateva ha'anoshi shelakol davar sheyesh lo tshuka imonin osomi menu yesh lo tshuka od yoser. Avram Avinu understood, as we all understand, that if something is a fight for you, the desire, and you want it, the more you want it, and the more you fight for it, the more you don't have it, when it's taken away from you, the more that craving, that desire to have it, becomes greater and greater. And that itself was what Avram Avinu was experiencing, top of the left column. That Avram Avinu, shalaragle hamanilos varedifos, all the fighting, all the struggles, shahayilo bebeis aviv, God lets lo atchuka le lukus biosim od. When the whole world is anti HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avram Avinu says, Echad Haya Avram, I'm the only one in the world who knows the secret. So he understood, wow, that is what made Avraham's Torah and his connection to Hashem so real. Al kein haisa atzoso. So the advice of Avram Avinu was, you know what? I need my children to fight for it also. Shakasher tiskare ma'ata chuka itzel zara achrav. When his children would cool off and we would lose some of our passion and we start to take everything good about being a Jew for granted, yishtavdu begalus, we would be sent into galus. V'hamenilus v'aredifus shalagalus, yiyu lahem l'refos tala lahagber aslam achuka v'aslavus bioser. And being in galus would reawaken that connection, that desire for a life of Torah and mitzvos. And what the Shem Yishmael is adding here is, he's saying, we're all going through what Avram Avinu went through. Which is, I wish I could come back to yeshiva. I wish I could go to shul. I wish we could get together tonight and have a shir in person. We can't. And there's something that's out there that's opposing us and fighting against us. But you know what? That's going to awaken, halavai, halavai. That's going to awaken within us a much greater desire to come back to all of these things. Halavai, it should be very, very soon. With this, says the Shem Yishmuel, we can understand maybe the most confusing pasuk in the entire Chumash. The pasuk says by the Tochacha, Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem Elokecha besimcha uvetuv levav. Because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with joy, that's why the entire Tochacha happened. Now, you're reading Parshas Kisavo, and you're literally reading about the destruction of Klal Yisrael. You're reading the most horrific description of a Holocaust. And then you're scratching your head and you're saying, like, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu do this to us? And then the Pasuk says, oh, I'll tell you why. Because you didn't serve Hashem with enough joy. So all the Mefarshim are trying to figure out, Kfar Hikshu Mefarshim, Eich Bishvil Menias HaSimcha, Yegil Lehem Onesh Gadol Kol Kach. I don't understand. Because we didn't serve Hashem with enough joy, so therefore, we went into the most horrific forms of exile. But the answer becomes obvious to us, says the Shem Yishmuel, based on this idea. Yuvan, Galus is not a punishment. Being exiled, being quarantined, is not a punishment for the sake of punishment. It's to wake us up to realize, you know what, I've been taking way too many things for granted. It's a wake-up call for us to once again get back to falling in love with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not tachas because you weren't, you know, simchadik enough, so Hashem is punishing you. It's not a punishment. It's that Hashem says, I want you to have to fight for it again. And that's the only way you're going to be able to come back to that feeling of appreciation for being a Jew, the way that Avram Avinu discovered it when he was opposing the whole world. When we go to Golis and Rachman al-Litzlan, are Jews in a concentration camp, and all of a sudden he says, what I would do to be able to put on tefillin, what I would do to be able to make Kiddush Friday night, what I do to be able to just daven or learn like a normal person, right? We all of a sudden we come to this deep appreciation, this Ava Rabu Chuka Tsuma Berish Be'esh Shal Hevesya, which is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It awakens this fire inside of us. And hopefully we come back to it in a very strong way. Final paragraph for tonight. Says the Shem Yishmuel in conclusion, all of this, of course, and again, it's a little bit Acher HaMaisa at this point, as we sit here somewhat isolated from each other. But all of this, and again, it should be a lesson for the future, all of this is only if we're cold in our Avodas Hashem. If we're cold in our Avodas Hashem, so Hashem has to take everything away until we realize, you know what, I took it all for granted. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Halavai gives it back to us. But if we would just appreciate it when we have it, it would be much less likely that Hashem would want to take it away from us. Ach kol eila be'im niskar ha'davra itza la'adam. V'chaseir alo chiyus ba'avodas Hashem yisbarach. All of this is only when we've become cold and we lack energy in our Avodas Hashem. Aval Ashrei Ha'ish She'enenu Tzarach She'tisor Etzlo Ha'tshuk Al Yedei Ha'menios Va'dechios. But happy, praiseworthy is the person who doesn't need to have it taken away from him for him to appreciate what he has. But rather to be like Avram Avinu, who every day of his life was a growing Jew. Avram Avinu, at the end of his life, saw himself as a beginner. There's always more to do in Torah and in Tefillah and in all aspects of Avodas Hashem. That a person should grow from one day to the next with a sense of ischadshus, and that Torah should always be chaviv in our eyes. Hayom, Chazal say, every day it should be as if today is your first day of being a Jew. V'yedua maimer ha-kadosh ha-yehudi, and it's well known what the Yid ha-kadosh, the holy Jew of Pershischa, one of the great tzaddikim of the early 19th century, said, the Yid ha-kadosh of Pershischa said, shebechol yom vayom hu le'umas yom esmo ke'erech yehudi lenachri. He said about himself that from one day to the next, one of the reasons he was called the Yid ha-kadosh, the holy Jew, is because he says, today is ke'ilu, it's the first day I'm Jewish. Yesterday, I did Avodas Hashem, it's true. I davened, I learned, I did tzedakah, I did chesed, I did all sorts of Jewish things. But I want to be such a better Jew today, that ke'ilu, today I became a Jew. Today I'm a Yid, yesterday I was a Nachri. And that has to be the feeling that we live with every day of our lives. Hashem only takes away things when we take it for granted. If we appreciate how lucky we are to have what we have, and we're constantly, like the Yid HaKadosh, converting to Judaism, even though we're Jewish, so then Hashem doesn't need to take away anything from us. So again, two ideas for us to think about sitting here in our somewhat self-imposed quarantine. And again, we have to take it seriously and follow the guidance of our Rabbanim and our doctors and the world at large. It's a bit of a scary time. And we have to take it seriously. But we have to embrace the opportunity as well to understand that, you know what, this is a chance for us to sort of recalculate and to remind ourselves there's way too many things that we take for granted. To understand that loneliness of the Mitzora and the Ani and the Suma and the person who doesn't have children, that feeling of loneliness which in some ways robs us from our life. But again, hopefully this is all a Hecha Timsa, this is all a stepping stone that we should be able to come back to one another and come back to Shul together and come back to learning together in a way that it's filled with a tremendous sense of Chiyus and Eslavus and Eschachus in Avodas Hashem. So thank you all for tuning in and bearing with me. I hope this worked for most of you. We'll find other opportunities to try it again.